Welcome to Manager Tools. Today's cast, exploit your wiggle room, part two. The questions this cast answers are, what are the limits of my role? What can I do when there's no corporate guidance? And how can I implement my ideas and plans? If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
Folks, thanks to the launch on 30 June of our new licensee benefits, which includes Executive Tools, our third regular cast, we now are covering the gamut of strategy, tactics, and execution all across the professional spectrum. We've already had our first Executive Tools cast, and I'm writing the next three this week, in fact. I hope you'll become a licensee to take advantage of Executive Tools, even if you're an individual contributor. Even if you don't think you'll ever become an executive, wouldn't it be good to know how executives think?
We talked about how you shouldn't just take on all the requests you get. You should maybe take some time, think about it, right? Digest it, ask around, ask your confidant, ask your friend at the level at which the request came out, see where this is likely to go, how much traction it's going to get. And the kind of the next thing we want to touch on, right, is that your boss probably doesn't know the details about what you're doing, right?
The details.
Right. So like, if you're listening, ask yourself a question. Do you know what each of your directs are doing specifically? Of course you don't.
Of course you don't. Of course not. You got your own work to do. You trust your team members. You don't know.
Yeah. For me, it's always the most obvious when I think about how other people do the stuff that they're doing, right? I mean, I always think of it as kind of the same thing about like when you lean over someone's shoulder to watch them use their computer and you know how to do the thing that they're doing and they also know how to do it and you watch them and the way they do it is completely different from
different.
You. For me, that it's that moment that always reminds me, you don't know enough about what your directs are specifically doing, or maybe you do, maybe it's enough, but you don't know enough to be able to say like, these are the hours they're spending on this. This is the hours they're spending on this. Also, they're doing stuff you don't know and you trust them, you know, don't panic. It's not a big, it's not the end of the world. It's just that if that's true for how you manage your team,
right?
What makes you think your boss knows what you're doing specifically?
Right. They don't.
And he doesn't.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Of course they do. I mean, how often does your boss ask you to go down the list of your directs asking for their strengths and weaknesses? I mean, probably annually.
Sure. Yeah, maybe. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. How often does your boss ask for updates on your top performer whom you and he agree ought to be considered for higher ups for more responsibility and promotion? Probably just before the meeting where he has to go in and talk about high potential employees or a promotion opportunity.
Also like 1 hour before, not a week before.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's not like you talk about it every week as a follow-up item
right.
or something.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, how often does your boss follow up on a situation you briefed her on from a couple of weeks ago? Even if it was a little bit sensitive. I mean, maybe somebody on your team gotten a little bit of a political tug of war. There was a bit of a riff between them and somebody from facilities management over, I don't know, who knows, new desks for the new office layout post-COVID work from home. Is your boss going to follow up on that situation that occurred a couple of weeks ago?
Nope. Not in my experience.
Yeah. Because she probably rightly assumes that if she needed to know, you would tell her. If you're not telling her, it's not a problem that she needs to concern herself with. The problem obviously got solved.
Right. And her lack of questions should say to you that she expects you to handle it. Not handle it her way.
Right. Yeah.
Just handle it.
Handle it.
Right.
She hears no griping. She's not looking back. She's only looking at the future.
We talk about this in conferences where we talk about like, does anyone else feel like they live in a no news is good news scenario? And people say yes. And I always describe it as long as no one's screaming, everything's fine. And That's kind of the point here. It's not that your boss doesn't care. She does. The point is that there's a difference between caring and knowing specifically what's going on. In this vacuum, you know, this is another space where you've got wiggle room. Do you think your boss knows the names of the first names of all your direct children? Of course not. She does not. She certainly expects you to know, or we hope she
expects. We hope she expects you to know.
She's going to assume, if she expects that, that you know, and leave it to you to get that information, to keep it safe, you know, whatever. So, you know, extrapolating here, even worse, we'd bet that at least 40% of directors in large organizations cannot say with certainty how many directs each of their directs have. I mean, there's definitely a possibility that your boss doesn't even know exactly how many skips they have.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's not top of mind for them constantly. These things that are so vitally important to your day-to-day business. It's just not important. Guys, again, here, we're not saying that your boss doesn't care. They do, just as you do. But the difference is caring and knowing.
Mm-hmm.
They're two different things. Don't assume that you can only do what the other people do. Don't just do what everyone else does because it's politically less risky for your career. Your boss has given you implied trust to make your own choices.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the nature of modern organizations.
Mm-hmm.
So utilize that.
Yeah. This is an important question, but ask yourself, if you were in your boss's role, would you trust your subordinate managers to make their own decisions and run their own teams, lacking specific guidance from you? If you would, you've got wiggle room.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You should
use it. Which takes us then. Yeah, you should use it. Absolutely. We'll tell you how next. By letting you know you can make any change you want.
Almost.
Almost any change you want. Good catch. Because it is an almost.
Yeah.
Obviously, for example, you can't change somebody's pay without HR's approval,
mm-hmm.
which means your boss needs to be involved. You can't promote somebody to a new position with an associated change in salary and benefits. Again, your boss needs to be involved. That affects their budget. Can't do that. You can't fire somebody with lack of cause out of the blue. HR's got to be involved in the firing process in every organization. But those are about the list of almosts.
Yeah, there are all kinds of things you can do.
Yeah, exactly.
You could make two or more of your individual contributors team leads. And they don't have to be technical team leads either, with only responsibility for providing technical guidance.
Right.
You could have them do one-on-ones with parts of the team. And by the way, you would then only do manager tools one-on-ones with your new team leads.
Mm-hmm.
And your two
team leads.
Right. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you'd have to convince them to take on the responsibility of manager, essentially, without a pay raise for now. But after your boss sees how it works, assuming you chose well, maybe they'll go to bat for you at the next performance or salary review period for, hey, team leads. And
exactly.
We get this question all the time. Like, how big, what is the perfect team size? There's no perfect team size, y'all. It depends on what your directs are doing. But span of control is a big deal. You know, it's really popular for budgetary reasons and for a plethora of reasons to keep organizations flat. Unfortunately, that leads to situations where people have a lot of directs and it's hard to manage at a certain level, that number of directs. Hey, consider some team leads.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Exactly.
Yeah, look, okay, so maybe you have to tell the team's leads, this is a test. Maybe you want to tell them, hey, there's a chance someone comes back in and vetoes me on this, but put yourself in their position. Suppose you wanted to become a manager one day. Would you turn down the chance to be a team lead with managerial responsibilities, some managerial responsibilities right now, under the auspices of your boss who believes in you and helping you along the way, right? Is helping you along the way. Of course you would. Why wouldn't you want to learn about being a manager before you have all the other responsibilities that come along with being one? And listen, y'all, especially if you're in a technical area.
Yeah.
Your directs are going to have to learn more technical stuff and learn how to be a manager at the same time. Wouldn't it be better if you teach them the managerial piece, which in many cases, for a lot of people out there, the managerial piece is the more simple piece. I mean, if you're working, we've got people working on the future of the world, and we're going to wait to teach them to be managers when they have to also level up their real work.
Exactly.
I'm struggling with how that's going to create successful organizations, right?
Yeah.
Because
there's going to be a pinch.
For sure. I mean, learning to be a manager is, it's not trivial. And you could be the manager whose directs get promoted. And listen, I often define the difference between the way managers are evaluated and the way executives are evaluated. And managers are evaluated on whether or not their people get promoted.
Yeah.
Executives are evaluated on whether or not when those people get promoted, they do well.
Mm-hmm.
How are your people going to do well at the next level? Well, yeah, like, and I guess maybe some of them, okay, because people will say, well, hey, it's their personality. Okay, no, thumbs down on that. It's not a personality trait. You can learn to be a manager.
Yeah.
And it's your responsibility as a manager to train your directs in some capacity for their future.
Yeah.
If some of that's going to involve management, hey, look, you know, you could have these team leads. They could be involved in manager tools one-on-ones with the directs. They could write performance reviews for their directs. Yeah, you'd have to sign it. And maybe you give them feedback and you have to rewrite it. Okay, maybe it's fine and you sign it and it officially comes from you. Hey, less to do, more time to focus on higher priority work. And your team leads would have learned how to write them before they had to learn to write them and learn how to input them in the system, which was never built for them anyway. Yeah,
exactly. That silly system that was never built for you.
Mm-hmm.
All of this practice being a manager, an actual manager under the guidance and leadership of you, a practiced and successful manager, it's like managing with training wheels. And yet I'll bet that there's some people out there getting a little bit nervous at all of these things that we're now suggesting they do. And that's all right. I mean, we'd bet that you're starting to feel a little bit antsy, but we know that there's not a CEO in the world that would tell you, no, don't do that. You have to involve HR. There's a structure change. There are rules for that. That's not how the CEOs think. Who thinks like that? HR. HR definitely thinks like that. Now, something to remember, you and your boss don't work for HR. You and your boss report up to the CEO. Your CEO, if this new structural, I'm making quotation marks, change were put into practice, would ask some simple questions. Why are you doing it? And is it working better than what you had before? Yeah? Okay, are the results better? Okay, good. Is your team getting more work done? Yes? All right.
Go for it.
Keep doing it.
Yeah, it's really reminiscent of this story about, I know you and I have, Mark's definitely told this story before to us, but the story of this chief naval operations guy here in the U.S. Navy, this is years ago, but he's visiting every U.S. naval base in the world. It's his first year on the job as chief of naval operations and visiting all the bases, former enlisted sailor, really knew what it was like to be in the trenches, to be in that position. And every meeting started with him sharing his vision for the Navy, something about the next year's plans. And then he would open the floor to questions, even if there were, you know, 1,000 or more people, sailors in the room. So he's opening these things up. And one senior enlisted sailor said to the guy, he's the chief of naval operations, the CNO, he said, I need some help. He was a single dad. He was made recently so by the death of his wife, who was also a sailor, and the mother to two high school age children's. So his wife, who was also a sailor, passed away. And he told the CNO that due to Navy regulations, his next duty tour would be a long one at sea, away from, as I've apparently started calling them, his children's, who were still grieving over the loss, of course, of their mother. And he said he was really close to his 20-year retirement and wondered if something couldn't be done so that he could stay shoreside to be close to his kids, be a family, watch them graduate, so on. And the CNO responded with, Chief, you are officially retired as of today with full retirement benefits. And of course, as you can imagine, the crowd goes wild.
The crowd goes wild.
Like, yeah, they're just
exactly.
Like, and that's how CEOs think.
Yeah, that's the thing. They're not sitting around wondering whether you're following every rule promulgated by all the staff agencies upon you. They're wondering whether you're doing as much as you can for the organization to achieve results, retain your team, and grow your capacity. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah, they're forward thinking. So if you're a director, let's say right now you're a director with five managers working for you. When you were a manager, you outperformed your peers in part because you created those team leads. And so that's how you've made this level through these promotions. And you've gotten more from your team of, say, 10 people and developed one of those team leads so well that she took your role when you got promoted. So that was you using your wiggle room. You got five of these managers working for you, one of whom used to be your direct, you know, when you were a level down and she has your job. You instituted basic agile practices. You started one-on-ones, quarterly progress reviews, structured briefing around key goals and deliverables. You were clear about objectives, repeated your team's goals and metrics and progress every week. You had a standard way of running meetings. You worked with a couple of peers to arrange for coverage so your team could go on an on-site, off-site twice a year to set goals and report on progress. And now you're a director. Mm-hmm. Okay, so how are you going to lead managers?
Well, I mean, that seems easy. You're just going to teach them to do exactly what you did.
Yeah.
Right?
It worked.
It worked, despite the widespread belief that management is personality. You know, it's just another system in the organization, the most important system in the organization, leading people. So you're going to insist that your managers follow your lead with the systems the organization has already rewarded you for. It clearly values those kinds of behaviors, a la you. Now, sure, when you get this new directorship, you're going to probably wait your 90 days following the 90-day rule podcast before you start making changes.
With everything except one-on-ones.
Well, yes, with everything except one-on-ones, obviously, yes. And you're going to have that chance to build trust with folks who are going to carry the water for you. You're going to, I mean, teach them how to do their own one-on-ones. And you're not going to forget to measure their success using whatever measurement tool. I mean, we've got podcasts and exec tools, how to measure one-on-ones if you're using Roadmap.
Yeah.
You can have them share their dashboards with you so you know how many of their one-on-ones are happening. And you're going to drive your meeting processes, reporting, etc. across all of your manager directs. You're going to teach them the difference between tasks and deliverables. You'll institute regular personnel reviews where you ask your manager directs to brief you on their team members. And you're going to find out what your manager directs are doing to develop those team members, followed by following up on what they commit you do.
You could institute skip-level meetings to make sure managers are pushing key messages to their team. You're going to teach managers to build relationships with your HR business partner and include that partner in your personnel development plans. And hopefully you'll resist the misguided idea that this is micromanagement.
Yeah.
Listen, y'all, when you hear that, tell your managers, no, it's not. Mm-hmm.
It's not.
I trust you. I believe in you. And the organization trusts me to get the most out of you that I can. And we've learned what works. And in fact, listen, you know it's not micromanagement because you were in your wiggle room.
Right.
Which is exactly. Now starting to sound like a place in my mind.
Right? Like an actual location?
Yeah. Like a room for it.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. But through all of this, you're going to keep your boss posted on what you're doing.
If you want to be successful, you are.
Right. Not because you're asking permission. We're not asking. We're just going to report on the changes we make. And we're going to be willing to answer questions about why we're doing what it is we're doing and how. And the answer to that is we're doing these things because they work and they're the right thing to do. It's right because the organization, you know, if you're in this director level, has already rewarded you for doing them before. And part of the reason we're briefing our boss, y'all, is because you know that there might be some people in your org who will complain that you're changing a lot of things and everybody's so busy, right? But you tell your boss so that when she hears these complaints, she'll already have been briefed.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so
pre-wire.
Right. So she'll know. She'll be able to say, oh, yeah, I was already aware of that. And that, of course, will help your boss to be like, oh, good. Okay. You know, there's stuff I know. I know all the stuff that's going on. And also to show that you're not doing this with the hopes of it all staying under the radar. It's on the up and up.
It's not a secret.
No.
You're not doing anything wrong.
Right. Yeah, you're not afraid.
No.
You're leading.
You're leading.
And you're within your wiggle room. Because we don't think that your boss wants to get involved in how you manage your managers. We believe she wants you to do it so she doesn't have to.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, folks, in case you missed it, and I can't imagine you did, but some of you only listen to the podcast, and so we don't get to email you. Last week, we celebrated 16 years of Manager Tools, and in recognition of that, and as a thank you to our loyal supporters, our personal license now includes additional products like the interview series and First Job Fundamentals, and as well, it includes Executive Tools. The only way you can get our Executive Tools podcast is to become a licensee. It's an investment in your development. It's only $200 a year. So don't miss out on this opportunity. Go over to manager-tools.com and sign up to become a licensee. It bugs me to think that there are hundreds of thousands of listeners that we don't have a relationship with, not even because we want to sell you something, but because we want to help you. And so if you're not a licensee or you're not even a member, come to the website, sign up, and learn some more about a lot of the products and services we provide. Thanks. Hope to see you there.
Something to keep in mind, given all of the previous, yes, you can be overruled, but guys, it's much more rare than you think. We've said before that a manager's role power gives her the ability to speak for the CEO to their team. Now, don't let that go to your heads. You're not actually the CEO, but the managerial processes and systems you put in place with your team are instituted with the same authority as the CEO coming down to the office and making them so themselves. Your leadership of your team within your team is the same as the organization-wide systems of security, badging, finance, accounting, things that everyone accepts as perfectly acceptable and accepted practices, not to be argued with. If one of your folks told you they were going to use a different cost accounting app that they liked, or even though the organization likes to use Microsoft Teams, they're going to personally use Zoom because they prefer it, they wouldn't get very far, would they? You would tell them to cease work immediately. They don't get to use their own cost accounting app or their own virtual platform because they prefer it. Those are organization-wide practices and accepted systems, just like your managerial style.
No, when we say this, people say, yeah, but the CEO can't be overruled and I can be. And they're right. But it's a weak argument.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's your argument to say in your safe space, okay. But wait, if that's your argument, what you're really saying or what you're attempting to say is that there's no manager at any level who can institute any new systems or processes without the express written consent of the CEO. And look, y'all, that's not true. Also, it's a recipe for bureaucracy, which is how governments are run. Yeah, and governments aren't well run in general.
Yeah.
And literally, there are people doing stuff you don't know about all the time. You're doing stuff your boss doesn't know about. And then that's fine. If you're getting results, your boss doesn't want to do your job.
No.
I mean, do you want to do your direct job? No. It's another version of the horseman middleman test.
Mm-hmm.
What's more, if your boss says no to a couple of your initiatives, hey, that's okay. Nobody's perfect. Maybe it's a lesson that you didn't brief it well enough or sell it to your team well enough. Fine. Lessons learned. I mean, I'm okay. I don't need everything I try to be accepted. Not everything I try is going to work.
Exactly. Of course it's not. We make mistakes.
Yeah.
We try. But I mean, I say oftentimes in our effective manager conference, when we're talking about things as simple as negative feedback, mistakes aren't bad. Mistakes that are done well and turn out with a positive impact is innovation. Innovation's born from a mistake. Mistakes by themselves aren't bad. So as long as we can put something in place and adjust, we're ahead of the curve. I mean, suppose you were the boss. Are any of the things that we've suggested are well within a manager's wiggle room dangerous enough or weird enough that you'd tell a manager who is a direct of yours that they'd have to cease and desist from doing them immediately?
No.
Of course not.
None of that was even weird.
It makes total sense that you can't manage 10 people effectively. So you've put into practice your two team leads, having them do one-on-ones. All of it is perfectly sensical. You wouldn't stop it. Chances are your boss wouldn't stop it either.
I mean, I hear a lot from, or I used to, not so much anymore, but I used to hear a lot from managers about like, well, I don't feel I have an autonomy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, don't inflict a lack of autonomy on yourself.
Right?
Give it a shot. If you haven't been told specifically, no, you can't do that, there's a chance that you're inflicting that lack of autonomy on yourself. You're giving yourself less autonomy. And I have sympathy if you're not allowed to do a lot of stuff. But if you're inflicting it on yourself, I don't have a lot of sympathy. Not that people are looking for our sympathy, but...
Right, but unfortunately, that's what most of us are doing. I mean, we see that those orders being thrown at us from all directions, and we feel like we're being pushed in all these directions, and we haven't a control over what requests we answer and what requests we don't answer and what we're supposed to do next, because we're just being directed by people above us. But I guess all of this to say, guys, don't fall for the small thinking that you can only do what everyone else is doing. Don't ask for permission, but do keep your boss posted. Because leaders find wiggle room. Why? Because it's there.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks, Kate. Thanks, everyone. That's it for this week. Have a good one.
Bye, y'all.